welcome back to The Right Heart, the Catholic podcast that believes that a heart guided by solid spiritual formation is a heart we can follow. I'm Erin Franco, and I'm a Catholic wife and mother navigating the everyday life of faith just like you. I podcast while the kids are sleeping or while my good husband is holding down the fort at home. You are listening to episode 11. After you listen to the episode, you can head over to therightheartpodcast.com for all the show notes, which will have pictures, links to what we talked about, and a summary of our main thoughts from the episode. And if you love what you heard, you might want to check out my blog, Humble Handmade, at humblehandmade.com. My guest today is Catholic wife, mother of six, photographer, writer, and blogger Colleen Duggan. Colleen has written for many Catholic media outlets over the years, including Catholic Digest, Creative Catechist Magazine, CatholicMom.com, Faith and Family Live, Genius Mom, and plenty of others. She's also a monthly columnist for Integrated Catholic Life, which is actually one of my favorite sites to go for great articles on spiritual life. You can find her personal blog at ColleenDuggan.net. Welcome to The Right Heart, Colleen.
Thank you so much, Erin, for having me. I'm honored that you would invite me on.
Colleen, I actually was really enjoying talking to you before we started recording the episode. I had this idea that you were going to be wonderfully easy to talk to and down to earth and really make me feel like you're right on the front lines there with me. And you were. So,
oh, that's so good. Yeah. Well, I am. I am on the front lines with you, for better or worse.
I was telling Colleen that probably about an hour and a half ago, before I got here to the studio, I tripped on half of a broken fishbowl in my living room and cut my foot open. And then my dad, who's a veterinarian, had to take me over to the clinic and do some minor stitch surgery on me. And we were laughing at all of the trouble that 5.5-year-olds can get into, especially when they're trying to save their new pet baby frog.
So, you're a warrior mom. You're a warrior mom on the
I
front
am.
Line.
I am. I do feel pretty hardcore.
So You are. You still made the podcast schedule, and you had stitches right prior. You are definitely a warrior.
So anyway, Colleen, I was trying to think about what to call this episode that you're doing for me today, and I think what I settled on that is perfect to name it is getting back to the heart of Catholic parenting. There are so many ways to parent and ways to run your home and teach your children and get your children into the faith, and just so many ways to do things. And sometimes I think we really get into a place where we think there's only kind of this one set of ways that is truly Catholic or that's going to make our children turn out right. And so that is what I want to talk to you about today, because I happen to know you have some wonderfully balanced thoughts on this topic.
Well, if they're balanced, it's because they're hard-earned and hard-learned from probably many years of imbalance. So I should say, you know, really start there, that it's not because I know everything as a mom, but really because I've failed hard, that I've had to adjust my way of thinking about things. And so I think that's how my perspective has evolved with regard to some of these things that crop up with Catholic parenting. We want to do the right thing, and we think if we do X, Y, Z, it will ensure that our kids retain the faith, or it will ensure that we're doing a good job. And, I mean, sadly, it's just not always the case.
I know, actually, the way that the first post that I ever read from you, Colleen, was a post that had gone viral 2 times, actually. And I found it the second time it went viral. A friend sent it to me, or I think I found it on Facebook. But the title of that post was, "Sorry, Catholic parenting is not an insurance policy for well-adjusted, faithful children." What a title.
Yeah, it's true, though. I mean, as much as I wish bringing my kids to Mass every Sunday and bringing them to confession twice a month or weekly if necessary were going to ensure that they would stay Catholic, you know, I would be a happy woman. I would be done with my journey, right, of raising kids. That would be the answer. But it just, human freedom and human will is messy. You know, we have the freedom to choose, and our kids have the freedom to choose. And so as much as we think certain practices, you know, whether it's breastfeeding or homeschooling or attachment parenting or staying at home versus working or unmedicated births or all natural foods, whatever you pick, those things, none of those things are bad at all. They're actually a lot of the avenues we can choose to follow in order to help us with this parenting gig are actually quite good. But I don't think any of them, if we choose them, are going to necessitate perfect sanctity for ourselves or for our children. I always like to think of St. Gianna Mola. She was a working mom. She pulled it off. St. Teresa's mom, working mom. Mm-hmm. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, working mom. And that always helps me to think about that, because right now I'm at home, but and I feel God has called me to that, but I do also believe that this is not the only avenue to holiness for myself or for my children.
At what point do we say we need to just let go and let God as parents? We have discerned as a married couple what God is calling us to in this season of life with our particular marriage, personalities, particular children. At what point can you just let go and kind of let go of all of that internal and external pressure? I think that there is sometimes to make certain decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good question. I mean, I think prayer, first and foremost, above everything in terms of any kind of life decision. And discerning things takes time. So, you know, whether it's putting your kids in school or homeschooling or you know, continuing to breastfeed or not, I don't know, there's a myriad of options out there that we could discern as Catholic parents to follow for our kids. I think prayer has to be the first thing. And then I've also found personally for myself, just in looking for that peace, because I think what you're talking about is how do we get the peace once we've made the decision, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we want. And so we definitely get peace from prayer, and also I think we get peace from having a little experience too. So for new parents, I think it's really hard because you're not sure. You're just flying blind, and even still, after 12 years of parent, I still feel like I'm flying blind so much of the time. But I think prayer. But I also think one thing that's been really helpful for me that I'm a big advocate for is both. You know, if you're just feeling so flustered and unsure and lack confidence, to try to find a sound spiritual director to kind of bounce ideas off of, that's been really helpful for me. And also counseling, personal counseling has been really helpful for me when I have, you know, just come up in a chronic issue, the same kind of issue over and over again in different ways, either in my marriage or in the way I'm responding to a kid. I found that it's been really helpful to go and find a third party who, you know, is a safe third party who kind of shares my values, to kind of bounce things off of, to get their perspective. And after I've talked about it with them and prayed about it and talked to God, and usually it involves a lot of tears in front of Jesus mm-hmm. about, you know, whatever it is I'm struggling with regard to parenting or my marriage, I usually walk away feeling so much better and feeling hopeful and feeling like, okay, I can do this. This is messy the way I'm doing it, and it's not necessarily how I thought I would do it, but this way that I've chosen after seeking outside help, whether it be, you know, through counseling or the spiritual director or my husband, I feel like they've helped put me on the right path. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense. But that,
yeah, absolutely.
Those are the things that have really kind of helped me gain peace in parenting and feel good about the different decisions that we've made.
Yeah, and you know, you actually, something just came to mind when you said the word husband, because I have seen, I'm still a relatively young mother, I'm about 6 years into the parenting gig, but I have seen over and over again, and even really been tempted to this in my marriage, that especially mothers sometimes kind of take on the role of, well, if I think we need to do it, then we need to do it. I don't care what my husband thinks. And that
they
can be,
yeah,
and that can be very divisive in a marriage, and it's really, it's really not the way to go. And it's something I know personally, I'm trying to think of a story here, but I can't think of one because there have really been several times, I think, when my husband has said, I really don't think that that's the right thing for our family or the right thing for right now for us to do. And I had to say, okay, I will respect that for right now. Yeah. So I really want to encourage listeners to think about, you know, how you speak to your husband or your wife, if that's the case, about what your beliefs are or what you think is best for your children, and take what their beliefs are into account and let them know that they're respected. Because even if it's maybe a little less good objectively for your kids or whatever, if your marriage is strong and you're on more equal footing and there's that mutual respect, your marriage is the vocation, you know? So make sure that your marriage is being nurtured and that you're on good footing there. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree. I think it's really hard. You know, all good things worth doing are hard usually, but I think it is really hard when you're in the season of a whole bunch of small children.
Oh, yes.
Make that time to pound out these ideas with your spouse. But I do think that it is really important. And I think what you're saying about listening to your spouse's opinion about whatever the issue is that has come up, maybe it's how to discipline a certain child. You know, men just think differently than women. And I find sometimes my husband approaches things with such a much clearer head than I'm able to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's why God put us together. And so I think it's a good to mention just the idea of valuing their input and what it is that they're bringing to the table and their perspective on family life. Even mm-hmm. though I am not always perfect at that, and it is something that I'm continually working on in my own family life.
Yeah, it's hard whenever you kind of, like, I know there was one point where I woke up one day, and I think this is a lesson a lot of us have to learn, but I woke up one day after I had my first baby, and I thought to myself, I have totally kind of left the wife part of this whole thing out and just identified as mother, and this baby needs me, and I just have not nurtured that part of my marriage at all, the marriage part. So,
yeah.
So that's something that
I feel your pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel pain.
And especially with infants and younger children, they have, I mean, for example, like, to be specific. So are you going to bottle feed or breastfeed or a combination? We decided, Michael and I decided to do a combination so that he would be able to feed our babies if needed, or we would be able to go on the occasional night out and baby wouldn't always need me. And that was something that we really needed, to go out for a couple of hours, even earlier on. And our babies were fine, and that was a choice that we felt like was fine for our children. And again, I don't mean to demean anyone who thinks that you know, they really believe that they need to keep that baby with them at all times. If you think that's best, for sure do it. But it's as an example of marital communication and trying to put my husband's feelings in a priority spot, that was good for us. And it made really made Michael, I think, feel like he had a say in things early on.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. I think that's a good example.
So actually, do you have any other advice for younger parents who might be listening to this, who are just getting into the whole, I guess, for lack of a better term, the mommy war kind of a thing, with all of these different ways to do basic parenting things with younger children?
Well, I would ask Jesus what he wants for your family, not me, Holly Duggan or Barbara or Betty or Brianna. I mean, it doesn't really matter what we have to say, really.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, if God is not calling you to certain practice in your family, then I think it, you know, even if it's a good one, it's not going to be fruitful, but maybe it's not worth your time. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would say that first. Is, you know, just really ask Jesus what he wants for your family. And then the other thing, all of these things that I'm mentioning are things that I really try to do. I've had to do over time. I've done all the wrong ways first. And then I realized, oh, I'll ask God. Okay, I've asked everyone else, and, you know, I've been offended by everyone, and I've hurt other people, and now let me ask Jesus what he wants. So I want to say that. Mm-hmm. So I would say that the first is just, you know, always to discern what God is calling you to. And then that's the thing that I think is a big one for me, is that trust God has given you what you need to raise the kids he's given you. I lack confidence in his confidence in me, and it's not helpful. It's not helpful as a parent. It's not helpful as a wife. And so to pray for the confidence that God has in you, that's been something that has been a lesson or a practice I've had to work on myself. And then the other thing, a couple weeks ago, a friend of mine came over, and she's younger than I am. She has a younger family, and she was asking me my strategy for discipline, and I just was totally stumped because each kid is so different, and, you know, I didn't know how to respond. It was a great question, but I'm like, I don't let my 18-month-old walk up and down the couch, you know. Maybe you should be taking notes on that. You know, it was really, the more I talked, the more idiotic I sounded.
Yeah, and I feel like so much of this is just flying by the seat of your pants, and,
really,
you know,
is.
What works for this 2 months at a time. And
it's so true. And when this child in this moment, you know, it might be different next week. And so that's how I was feeling as she was asking me, and we were talking. And the more we talked, you know, it came to me, you know, she was sharing just how she felt guilty for the mistakes she's made. And, of course, I can identify with that. I made a lot of mistakes as a mom and as a wife. And so what came to me is just my discipline strategy, confession, getting on my knees and saying to the priest in persona Christi over and over and over again, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I've behaved worse than the toddler again. And that is going to be, you know, the thing. That's my parenting advice. Go to confession, okay? Yes, we screw up. We mess up. I'm messy. I mean, I'm a wreck. So God knows that, and he still gives me all these kids. I don't know. And half the time, I'm wondering what he's thinking. And so when I mess up, the thing that has brought me the most consolation in terms of parenting is going to confession. So I would say, you know, the sacraments, go to Jesus, go to confession, trust God has given you what you need. And then once all those spiritual elements have been, you know, you're doing that regularly, you're going to get all the graces you need. But if you're still up against issues, problems, you know, maybe a chronic fight your husband and you are having, I hate to be the dead horse, but get help. Go outside of yourself. Find someone respected who can be a third party to talk to you about your issues and maybe some of your bad. Maybe you have, I know I have had in my marriage, bad behavior patterns. You know, I'm a reactor. I have a bad temper. And so even just talking to a counselor about, okay, what are some strategies when your 8-year-old is pressing every single one of your rather large buttons? What is something that you can do to make sure you don't behave worse than he does?
And, you know, I always think too, Colleen, well, I have started praying this too, that I am asking for a good thing, Lord, when I'm asking him to help me be a good mother. There is no way that he is not going to answer that prayer. But so much of the time, God answers our prayers in years instead of instantly, you know, and I just think, I just think if I'm praying a good prayer for my husband, for my marriage, for a job, for whatever, for my children, he's going to be faithful to that and he's going to reward also our faithfulness over the course of his timing. But yeah, it is so good to hear, though, I think from a mother of 6 children, coming from a mother of 3 children, that you are right there in the trenches too with discipline and figuring out the nuts and bolts of the Lord's will for you guys. So I love that. I wish that you had it all figured out so then I could say, well, if you just give me 3 more children, then it'll be figured out, Lord. But
No. In fact, I was just saying to a friend of mine at the pool this afternoon, I had all the kids there. I was like, you know, my fourth child is just out of the box different than any of my other kids, and I don't even know how to respond half the time. And it's going to be fine. We'll work it out. But it's a challenge in the meantime to figure what the best course of action is for him and how to respond to him.
Yeah, actually, too, I kind of wanted to get your take on this. So I went to the Adele Gathering last weekend, which is a conference awesome. Hosted by Hallie Lord and Jennifer Fulweiler. It was wonderful. Just a bunch of people who get me and get my life and vice versa.
Yeah, I'm so glad you got to go.
I know. God is amazing. There was just no way. And then he opened the door. But anyway, we had the pleasure of one of the speakers being Rachel Balducci, and she was hysterical. She has 5 boys and then a little girl at the end there. But she got up there and told us kind of basically what we're talking about here on the podcast today, that what works for one family and what is reasonable for one family is just not going to work for another family. She was talking about one time she tried popping into adoration with all four or five boys at the time, and it was a hysterical story about what ensued.
It's so
there
true.
And I've been there too, just a few months ago. I think I have a tweet about it too. I tried to pop into adoration, which is a good thing, and I will try it again eventually, but I just went in there with the kids and it was a disaster, and I can laugh about it now, but I remember feeling, oh, I would love to take them to daily mass. I'd love to go bring them to adoration more often, but it's just such a disaster when I go right now. And some kids will go in there and play quietly with toys or read their books or whatever, but not mine and not Rachel Balducci's. So it was just great to hear that she's done a lot of good work for the Lord. She's a great mom. She's, you know, her oldest ones are in college, or maybe just the oldest now. And just that they're turning out okay. They're doing well. They are a holy family. We can't wait to always think, oh, one day we'll be a holy family. You know, like, you have to be able to, I think, to call yourself that for what you're striving for sometimes, you know?
A few weeks ago, for the first time ever, one of my toddler got into the cabinet and drank. He got a gulp of Clorox. It was awful.
Oh, goodness.
And I had to call 911. It was a top 5 worst parenting moments of my life. He threw up. He's fine. It was, in the moment, it was just so horrific.
Yeah.
And it was really striking, though, because the kids, we are normal. Like, their kids are trying to jump off the roof at my house. I mean, there's a lot of action happening. Fights happen. I'm breaking up wars over pencils all the time. But it was really a beautiful moment, because when it happened, when I was calling the 911 and the police were coming on their way to the house and all, the kids all started praying spontaneously on their own, saying Hail Marys. And then my 6-year-old, the one who I was saying is really kind of giving me fits right now, he blessed my toddler's head with the sign of the cross and his mouth and his chest. And it was a stressful moment. So they were all, you know, but if you had told me that that would have happened, I would have said you were crazy. Because they fight all the time and, you know, and we just are doing the best we can. But when it counted, they knew what to do. And it was so refreshing, you know?
Wow. I love that. Like, even in a very tough, stressful moment like that, God just kind of gave you a little glimpse of hope. I love when he does that, where he sends us, I think it's called, or I'm going to call it a signal grace, where he sends you a little moment where he just affirms you. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. I will never forget. This story is so applicable to so many things in the spiritual life, but one of the first times I saw my spiritual director, I went in there like so many before me and poured my heart out. And I told him how hard I'd been trying to be faithful and do well and all these different problems in my life. And after I was done with my spiel, he sat there for kind of a while with his eyes closed and just praying about it. And then he opened his eyes and he said to me, you know, Aaron, I really think the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you right now that he is pleased with you.
Aww, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, it really was. And I think since then, I've really had in my spiritual life, just I've been reminded more, if I'm doing the best that I can do, if I'm being faithful in all of the big things, even if I'm failing in the little things every day, he is still pleased with me. I'm still on the right track. And I need to remember, have that more resurrection feel to my faith more often, instead of just getting down on myself all the time because I yelled way too much again today, or this or that with my kids, you know?
Yeah, we have higher standards, I think, myself included, than God. We have higher standards for ourselves than Jesus expects of us, you know? And I think that's really beautiful to focus on that we're his child and that he loves us. I think that's a really... It will also help with how we respond to our kids, because if we're able to receive the love of God, the Father, and take pleasure and enjoyment in that, it spills out into our interactions with other people. So I think that's a beautiful story.
Mm-hmm. So I had a question that I definitely wanted to cover with you that's a little bit more on the end of, okay, so how do you deal with this? I think we all have been in situations where we feel like other people are judging us for whatever that we're doing with our parenting or marriage or our life somehow. And I guess specifically, maybe we've had situations where we feel like other faithful Christians or Catholics are kind of judging us. And whether that's internal or it's external and is coming from them, what advice can you give us about dealing with that kind of insecurity or dealing with that kind of criticism from others?
That's a good question.
it's a big one.
It is. So you're saying, I guess, if we are sensing or there's been just kind of overt judgment, or maybe both.
I think
sensing judgment,
mm-hmm.
where someone has been overtly judgmental, how to respond.
Sure.
It is a good question. I can think of two times in my own life where overtly someone was judging me and shared up front about. One is a funny time. I had a really bad morning with the kids, and we were supposed to be at this park date, and there were a whole bunch of people there. And by the time I got there, I mean, I was ready to spike my coffee with vodka. It's been so rough of a morning. And so to kind of lighten the mood, I didn't know these ladies very well. I was like, hey, ladies, get a load of this. On the way into the van this morning, my three-year-old is walking down the steps. And every time he walks down the steps, he's going, damn it, damn it, damn it. I was telling the story. I mean, first of all, I'm sorry. Even though it's horrific to hear your child say that, it's funny coming out of that little voice, sweet, angelic voice. And so I was sharing the story mainly because I felt so awful about it, but also to bring some kind of levity to the situation, kind of laugh about it. And one of the moms looked at me, serious as a heart surgeon, and said, you know, you really need to work on that, Colleen.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I would just melt into my shoes.
Yes, I do. Well, it ended up being really positive because we kind of flushed it out. I'm like, well, I mean, that's never happened to anyone else's house. As one of the other moms was like, well, actually. And then, you know, she kind of starts here. And then it all started dropping like flies of sharing different things that have happened. And so it's just kind of it was kind of a funny thing because, you know, I was opening myself up to that, right? I was sharing a moment of weakness. You know, my three-year-old should not know the word damn it. It's the truth. And he learned it from me. No place else. But we also have to kind of be, I feel like it's helpful for me as a mom to be able to laugh about these things sometimes. So that was one time that was funny. But then there was another time where I felt judged when my oldest was a toddler. He almost died. He was really sick for a year. He was in and out of the hospital. He was really, really ill.
Mm-hmm.
It was very serious. And I was pregnant with my third in 3 years. And we lived in Louisiana at the time, and that's where my heart remains forever. And I went to the play group, and all the ladies that were there were dear friends of mine, except there was someone new I didn't know. And so I was kind of bemoaning my impending labor and that I didn't feel mentally prepared to undergo natural childbirth because I had been in and out of the hospital with my oldest child who'd been so ill. He had all kinds of surgeries and tests and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had shared that I just thought, you know, maybe I'll just go ahead and get the epidural. Well, all my friends were like, yeah, get the epidural, Colleen. It's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I went home, and, you know, that was the end of it. Well, the next day, the hostess of the play group had forwarded this email from one of the attendees. And when I opened the attachment to the email, it was a 2-page document on the redemptive value of natural childbirth. And so she was just kind of explaining to me, you know, where I was wrong in thinking that an epidural would be a sound thing to do, as I would be missing out on all these graces because align my suffering with Jesus and the cross. And that is true. I mean, absolutely, in childbirth, we can do that. But I, you know, at the time, I was like, wow, this is really not helpful at all.
Yes.
I didn't know about my sick child or anything like that.
Goodness, that's a perfect example of, okay, how can I deal with this gracefully here? And even just think about this person gracefully who did this awkward thing who, you know, there's some good intentions there, but
with good intention, absolutely. And, you know, in that post that you mentioned earlier about that went viral, you know, some of the flack I got and potentially some of the flack I could get for sharing this particular story is that I was judging the woman.
On the flip side.
Sharing this, and, you know, you're being judgmental. And I guess the point of sharing stories like that for me is not to talk badly about people who maybe have a weak moment, okay? I've been there myself. It's really to say that those moments actually have hurt me. And as a Catholic, it's okay for me to say that behavior or that statement that you just made was hurtful to me. Going back to your question, I think sometimes something might happen, you know, where someone says or does something, or maybe I've said or done something that was rude. And so I do think if we can operate out of forgiveness, that's fine. But sometimes we first have to acknowledge our feelings have been hurt, or that we had a certain, you know, felt a certain way. And then once we process that, however way we need to process it, then we can go and extend grace to that person. And I also think, you know, really being careful about, you know, if someone does or says something, and then also, I guess I'm thinking maybe not someone doing or saying something about my own way of parenting, but just in general in conversation about parenting, maybe just being careful about not sharing my own standards and opinions and practices, being gentle with the things that we do as a family, because, you know, some people are fighting much greater battles than whether or not they should homeschool. I mean, there's porn addiction or alcoholism or drug addiction or workaholism or food addiction. You know, and some couples are really, that is the demon in their house. Not some of these, I'm sorry to say, but smaller things like whether or not we should give the kid a bottle. There's big deals happening. And so to be sensitive that not everyone has the same life that we do. You know, each of us have strengths and weaknesses, and each of our spouses have strengths and weaknesses. And that affects how we can respond to a situation and deal with it effectively together. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but.
Yeah, no, and I love what you said too about not like being. Like not sharing what you and your family do as much, unless maybe somebody just asks you, point out.
Directly.
I think that is, and that's also, I think, advice that I've read from a lot of the saints too, is don't speak so much about yourself. But especially with, there's so many mothers out there dealing with insecurity and, okay, well, I'm raising my hand right now here in the studio on different things, you know. So really, you can't make decisions or operate out of fear. At some point, you have to say, I prayed about this. My husband and I have worked on this and talked it out and pros and cons. And you just have to say, I am going to be a joyful Christian and live out what I think God wants me to do, even though it looks different from my favorite blogger or that really cool mom at playgroup or all of those moms at playgroup. And really that I think that joy, like that, just that joy of you really think you're doing what God wants you to do, that confidence that you're you've discerned, you just live it out, that really comes across well, like just that you're comfortable in your skin, you know?
Yeah, and I think following that train of thought, also just asking people questions about themselves, moms questions about themselves, and then commenting on the good things you do see them doing.
Because, absolutely.
You know, it only takes 5 minutes to talk to a mom, at least in my experience, to sense that they, all of us, I don't care who you are, I don't care if you've been parenting 30 years, all of us are looking for an atta girl. And maybe we shouldn't be. I mean, we need to get that primarily from Jesus. But I know for myself, when I'm interacting with other moms, I really want to try and be encouraging. And I want to try and say, like, you, look, God gave these kids to you, and you are doing the best job, bang-up job you can.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, you know, frame the conversation that way. And then if it continues to go downhill, and, you know, talk about your favorite book, or the best movie you just saw recently, I don't know. But mm-hmm. I think not starting off, even if we're deeply convicted about whatever particular parenting practice we just are so on fire about. You know, it's one thing if someone asks, but it's another just to share, I think. So that would be, I don't know if it's how I would deal if someone said something to me that maybe offended me about my parenting choices, but I know in the larger world that's something I try to do, not perfectly, and I make mistakes mm-hmm. and fail, but I try to be positive and encouraging to other moms about their hard work that they're doing.
I think every mom is a words of affirmation mom on some level. You know, we just all need that. And we don't need it from, like, for example, in my family, my mom and my aunts and my grandmother are very much words of affirmation. I am such a better mom than they were. And I'm doing such a wonderful job with my kids. So I hear it all the time from them. And I do appreciate it. And I do feel like that helps me feel like, okay, I am on the right track with this. But from another mom, or even a mom who's a little bit more of the Titus 2 mom, a little, you know, a few steps ahead, that means so much to me, you know, to me as a younger mom to hear that. So I really encourage you, even if you are where I am, you're a younger mom, just point out things that you see in other people, even if it's that their little girls are dressed adorably that day. That's a big deal to get out the door with a bow in a 2-year-old's hair. So even if that's the only thing you can think of, just remember that. And I promise it will make you some friends too.
It's true.
Yeah. So Colleen, I kind of have a final question for you. I want to ask you, what do you think is, or what things do you think are really at the heart of being a Catholic parent? What is extra or more full about Catholic parenting that you think kind of goes across the board with whatever specific little ways of raising your kids there are?
That's another good question. For me, the heart of being a good Catholic parent is to form my children's hearts to be like Jesus. And how can I do that? Well, through the sacraments, running, clinging, crawling to the sacraments if I have to,
mm-hmm.
through prayer. And then also in humbling myself in front of my kids when I do behave poorly, and, you know, lose my temper or whatever, you know, admitting to them my own weaknesses, my own struggles with sin, and asking them to pray for me to help me grow in grace to overcome those obstacles to holiness. So for me, I think the heart of Catholic parenting would be Christ and the sacraments and the graces that we receive through those. And above and beyond any kind of parenting strategy or book or guide plan, you know, that you could outline, it would be to really seek Christ and his wisdom for my family and what it is he wants us to do, which is hard in the competing bedlam of the world today with so many different voices telling you, oh, try this, you know, do this. This will be the answer to your family problems, or this will make you happy if you have this much money, or, you know, whatever it is that they're selling, to try to steel myself to listen to Christ and to know Him and really accept His love for me and be confident and fulfilled in that love so that I can share it with others.
I think that was a fantastic answer to that question. I love that you spoke not just of what you want your children to end up like, but what you want yourself, your soul to end up like. And I do think that that's where it is. It's making your children into saints the best that you can and making yourself into a saint the best that you can along the way. And apologizing to your kids, letting them know that you're not perfect, but your example of every day, again and again, you fall, you get right back up and keep onward, you know, keep going. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful. Colleen, you have been a fantastic guest. Thank you so much. I am so pleased that I got to have you come on and share that a few steps ahead of me, at least, wisdom that you have. And also that affirmation that we're all in it together. We're all in the trenches together.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
These little ones.
You're doing a great job. And I really appreciate
you
having me on.
All right. If you loved what you heard today, guys, check out The Right Heart on Facebook or follow me at Erin Franco on Twitter. The show notes for every show can be found at therightheartpodcast.com too, if you didn't catch that at the beginning of the show. And guys, I would love a quick review of the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher if you're listening on those apps, or a comment on the show notes post for this episode. The feedback really does help me make a better podcast for you guys. And it also on iTunes and Stitcher makes the podcast visible to more potential listeners. So if you were blessed by the show today, consider passing that on with a review. All right, guys, until next time, may peace and abiding joy be with you and yours. God bless. Mm-hmm.